you.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBSRadio.com. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. My name is Steve Roscoe. We are live from downtown Rome, New York, at DePaulo's. And who is with us this evening?
My name is Yath.
I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero. That is Mike Perillo.
I'm Nitch Rickadim.
I'm an investigator, Steve. Apparently, vests are the new thing. I'm Mark Berry.
Welcome, guys. Dave, you're joining us tonight.
I am happy.
All right.
He drank the Kool-Aid this evening,
be
Steve.
Be back tonight. My one night off in 4 months.
You actually walked through the door, and everybody looked and said, that can't be Dave.
You know, the funny thing is, like I was mentioning, tonight's my one night off. I'm right in between two classes, and just as I was getting here tonight, the school called and said, are you on your way? I said, no, my new class doesn't start till Thursday. They said, no, you have to be teaching tonight. I said, well, we have a conflict of dates, I think.
No, they're lost.
Yep, they're lost. Our game.
You got one night off and you're spending it with us?
Yeah, I haven't been here in months. I'm happy to be here. This is awesome.
Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
We've missed you.
I've missed you.
I touched myself earlier. I mean, I don't know where that was going.
That's.
I thought I'd say the most paranormal thing.
That's paranormal right there.
I was going to ask you for a man, but, you know, on the radio, that sounds a little.
Wow, that's. That.
Nobody knows how to caress me like me.
Oh, God.
So, I have no idea where we're going with the last show.
So, the last show, we had an explosive diarrhea talk about. Time travel. I think David should get into that again. Let's have a serious discussion on the Sirius radio station. This is BBS Radio, whom we love dearly.
We love BBS Radio Network.
If you're not listening on your app, you're not doing it right.
Make sure
we make babies cry. Did you see their logo? We make babies cry. I love it.
Make sure you download the BBS Radio app for your mobile device and visit us at www.romeinvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com. There's my plug.
Our domain name is actually longer than the longest domain name by reputation.
It is.
It's amazing.
Whatever. All right. Time travel. I was reading an article put out in a science journal a couple weeks ago, and Stephen Hawking, the noted cosmologist, the world's most intelligent person.
That's makeup?
What?
Not cosmetologist.
Not cosmetologist. Cosmologist.
I was thinking the same thing, Pete.
He takes pictures with his mouth.
He has.
That's what a prostitute told me one
time. Good God.
What am I going to excuse myself?
Stephen Hawking has retracted his previous claim about time travel. He now says. Yes, in the 80s, when he was talking about black holes and, you know, when everything was really being published and it was a brand new concept, he proved mathematically that time travel is possible, so on and so forth.
He said black hole.
And he has since stated that time travel, as we would know it, is not possible. And the way that we know it, would be kind of like in a Star Trek fantasy tense where you walk into a device and it beams you back into the past or forward into the future. He said that is not possible.
So let me bring up, so you said you can't physically, you know, warp yourself.
Correct.
Through time. What about people such like, are you familiar with Edgar Cayce?
Yes.
What about the whole...
The Sleeping Prophet?
Yeah, the whole, like, thought projection back into a... Because he had his whole projecting back into bodies of people who lived in Atlantis.
I don't know what's wrong with Peter tonight, so I apologize.
Mike's a hole.
let me clarify that.
Wow, Pete.
Stephen Hawking's notion of time travel is in a physical sense.
Purely,
your body cannot be transported back into the past, forward into the future, and then back into our time frame.
His universe, there's no room for souls or minds.
Mind, yeah, soul, no.
Yeah, no mind, but he doesn't have...
Spiritual.
Right, he has no spiritual predilection.
He's the ultimate skeptic. It can't be proven, it doesn't exist.
Right.
That's kind of how it works. Was this related to the Event Horizons article? The lack of an event horizon makes black holes impossible?
No.
Okay, because there was another one that I just stumbled across trying to do some research on this. Effectively saying that black holes don't exist.
Was it his? Was it from him?
It says Stephen Hawking has set the world of physics back on its heels by reversing his lifetime's work and a pillar of modern physics, claiming that black holes do not exist.
When was this dated?
January of this year.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe he's...
Saying the idea of an event horizon, the invisible boundary thought to shroud every black hole, the awesome gravitational pull created by the collapse of a star will be so strong that nothing can break free, including light, is flawed. Hawking proposes that instead of an escapable event horizon, we should think of an apparent horizon. So it's an interesting new view, I guess, on his whole quantum physics theory.
I don't know if he's retracting all of his I don't know if he's retracting all of his previous theories, but I mean,
I don't think he's. From what I'm reading here, it doesn't look like it's all of them. It just looks like it's the idea of light not being able to escape a black hole. I'd have to read the actual.
What if Stephen Hawking's earlier work was on the right path, and now he's being possessed by some mind from the future?
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
To throw us off.
Are you channeling your cousin?
His two main theories resulted in the notion of black holes being a a physical reality.
Black hole.
And
did you ever read Sphere by Michael Frayn?
Yes.
That sort of, right? They went through a black hole.
Right, right. Yeah. And his other theory was based on the fact that time travel is indeed plausible and it is doable in our lifetime and we could theoretically travel to and fro.
So he disproved his own.
He disproved him. Or I don't know if he disproved it, but he recanted it.
He's retracting his earlier research. Saying that it's incorrect.
Yeah, it's the mark of a good scientist, I suppose.
I guess.
Stephen Hawking. We should try and get him as a guest on the radio or something. I mean, he'd call it in, obviously.
I don't think...
I don't think he'd want to come to Rome, New York.
I don't think anybody has enough money to have Stephen Hawking on the radio with us.
I don't think he would have enough wit to actually discuss anything with him.
Yeah.
Nothing against you. You're probably the closest of us.
Pete would say, Stephen Hawking's a black hole.
Take him out.
I'm sitting here. I'm looking at pictures of Stephen Hawking before he contracted.
Before, yep.
What's wrong with him?
ALS.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, Stephen Hawking has ALS.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yep.
Is he tested and named it after him?
No, but
and how long has he had this?
Since he was 22, 23, it started.
And how long has he been in the wheelchair like this?
Since about 30, I think.
Okay.
In his 30s.
So he's lived quite
years.
A while with it.
And oh, yeah.
He's very fortunate.
Well, I...
If
yeah,
you, you know, yeah.
He said he loves his life. He loves life. I mean, it's... To us, looking in from that lens, it's debilitating and cruel and horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was having this discussion with somebody at work. He is completely on life support. He's on a ventilator. He's on a feeding machine. He's on dialysis. He's being plumbed for things to go in, and he's plumbed for things to... He's basically being kept alive for his brain. It's very unusual. I find it unusual, but
he still has all the workings there.
Speaking of cousins, dude.
He's so cold.
The time travel concept, like Mike was trying to push, or not push, but discuss, was the metaphysical or spiritual essence of possible travel.
You can turn it off.
You should, but you're drinking. I don't want to cause an explosion.
We have a heater going in the office tonight. What? Sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
I have no idea at this point. No, you were talking about the idea of there's more spiritual time travel, like the astral projection or the projection of a being into the past or past life regression,
yes,
even maybe. Were you, I mean, what was the idea behind that initially? I mean, with comparison to time travel, you don't know, you were bringing it up. Well, because it's an
interesting... just bringing it up is the fact that you couldn't physically do it, but could you do it
right
in a non-physical sense?
It's a good question, I guess. I mean,
like could you transfer energy? But I guess energy is a physical, right? Technically, energy is a part of the physical universe.
Well, if you look,
I mean, energy is energy. But
if you look at the Newtonian perspective on it, energy can never be created or destroyed. So does that disprove what Hawking's saying, that once you die, that's it, you wink out and there's nothing there? There can't be, because your energy transfers to something. So the idea of astral projection is that you are transferring your energy into a non-corporeally into another entity, whether it's a physical entity or the spiritual remains of a long deceased entity, or you're experiencing something that you can't perceive in our physical reality. So I don't know. I mean, there's two scientific perspectives there that are at odds.
That's pretty much what I was trying to bring up, the two sides of it. But with Stephen Hawking's side, there is no other side of it. It's just so.
Right.
True enough. Well, energy, I mean, not necessarily energy, I guess, but even at the atomic level, there's always been thought that it can exist independently of time and two places at once in some situations, be it based upon that idea, I mean, of being independent of time, because everything is made up of the same energy and atoms that have always existed. We really haven't made new, but because we can't destroy what's there, what's going on with that? I mean, is it?
And you have to keep in mind that time is a human construct.
Yeah,
it's not.
I was just going to say that.
Well,
time
and what we measure is a human construct,
like,
but what we observe isn't necessarily.
Right, energy doesn't get old or change. I know nothing about science, so I mean,
well,
I can talk metaphysics all day, but real world stuff throughout.
We often tell people that, like, if you if they play with a Ouija board as a kid, there's a possibility that they made contact or opened themselves up to something. We say it's timeless. What might be there has no comprehension of time, because it's not living within our structured existence in that same sense. So in theory, I guess you could technically kind of, I mean, what could be an instant for some entity might be tens of thousands of years for us, who knows? But the idea that all this energy is out there, everything exists, we can't destroy it, as Dave was saying, we are really creating it though either. It's just kind of
there. It's unchanged.
Well,
it's like malleable,
but it does change. That's the problem.
Right. Well,
it
changes states.
Does it degrade?
If you look at human energy in the form of data, and that analogy is made quite often, that a complex data system is analogous to the way our neurons fire and the transfer of thought information through the brain. As time progresses and distance progresses, as data moves through a channel, something called attenuation occurs, where the signal is still coherent, but it degrades itself, it stretches itself out, and it becomes incoherent. It's still the same data, but it's in a form that's no longer
like grabbing a piece of gum
and stretching it out.
It's the idea behind spaghettization in a black hole.
Right.
All that breaks down to it's, and it doesn't make a difference what it was.
No.
It's utterly destroyed, but it's not destroyed.
Attenuation doesn't destroy it. It's still there. It just can't be perceived in the same state at which it was sent.
Right.
And the same thing with the black hole.
The individuality of whatever was sent is then, in a sense, destroyed. It's not the same as it was. It's just now
it's
individual pieces.
Right. So the energy is still there,
but
it's just
there,
in a different state.
Is there a version at some point that puts it back together?
Well, like, I mean, if you're talking in a data system.
Like, obviously, like in a computer. Or
yeah,
something.
In
it's obviously
but
the
like
transporter
in a natural,
buffer
there's
of Enterprise.
This happens naturally then, right? Where is there a way where it naturally kind of...
No, I mean, we don't know enough about...
Go back together?
No, once decoherence occurs, then I mean, the closest thing that we could think of is like decomposition. Your body at some point over a course of time and natural causes degrades to a point that it's no longer recognizable to us as a body. Everything is still there. It's just in a different state. How do you recongeal that?
That's a better analogy for the science people.
You get into the circle of life ideas, where at that point you've degraded you all that energy and you all the, what it was you has now faded into, it's broken down into the other forms of energy. I mean, you now become some form of food for something else, which was then eaten by something else.
Right,
and the circle of life comes into play there. That energy is still there; it's just transferred into something else, some other kind.
But the original point of it is still.
Right, you're gone. Right, you're gone. You're no longer. But then something else has now taken from that energy,
right,
and
it
now
like transforms what it was. But
right.
It's
changing
not,
of state. In the
it's
sense.
Not going back to what it was. Like it's not being able to reread. Like when I degenerate to that point, it's not like they'll come back and be able to sift through dirt. And be like,
yeah,
oh, this is what
you've already degenerated a little bit, Mike. That's okay.
Yeah, that's where that argument for skepticism comes in, because they say that, you know, that's not. That whole circle of life thing, that's not a paranormal phenomena, that's not analogous to anything in the paranormal, and
it really isn't a paranormal phenomena, because it's become accepted, because it's a truth
it's
we
true.
Recognize.
Right.
But even, you know, long before that, no one believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Long before that, people were, you know, they believed the body was simply whisked away and taken into some afterlife or underworld.
Yeah. And if you think about it in that sense, then you could think about that similar to dry ice. Dry ice doesn't melt. It doesn't turn into a liquid.
Instantly
it's
changes
ice.
From
it sublimates
solid
from
gas.
A solid to a gas instantly. There's no nothing.
Is that why it steams?
It steams.
Yes.
That's sublimation. It just goes into vapor in the air.
There's a fancy word for that I forgot in science class about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So.
And through tremendous pressure, you can re-solidify that into dry ice, but it's not, you know, anything that's...
Really? So it's never liquid at all?
Never liquid.
So they just compress gas to become a solid, and then when it's put in like air, it goes like, wow.
Sublimates. Yep.
And there's your PSA for today, kids. The more you know. Ding, ding, ding.
But it is, I mean, it's interesting in the sense that...
I'm glad you showed up today. I feel smarter.
I'm glad
I'm going to take a class of yours. What do you teach?
Network engineering.
Ooh.
Never mind.
You can teach like a basic class.
Nope.
Locate the power button.
Nope.
Good job, A.
But that is an interesting concept with the whole idea of energy transferring, I guess, or becoming something else, changing state, whatever would make the most sense. But in the idea of that breaking down to nothing or not really creating new, I guess, we have all this, you know, everything new we're creating, items, objects, people, things, new people are being born, new animals are born. Where does that come from? Is that simply just recycled energy at that point completely?
But I guess actually with, if you're going to go this is just going out the metaphysical realm.
That's fine. That's what we're
paranormal
at
paranormal radio. If you go along the lines of like Edgar Cayce, I keep bringing him up because I've been reading a lot about him lately. and the whole like as energy moves, it defragments or... Well, I guess technically, if you go the metaphysical route of he does by being able to project his consciousness back in time to a former life, wouldn't that be almost reversing or at least following that energy strand back to...
Well, yes, that's a...
I mean, obviously purely metaphysical.
If you think of that like as a laser, you're...
Actually, what you said actually helps kind of define what Cayce did, because it's not just random setting your spirit back. It's almost like following your like genetic code back, like tracing back your own ancestry just on a...
Yep, your
genetic
like,
memory.
I don't know if you're familiar or ever read like Dune by...
Nope.
The Haderach.
Well, Frank Herbert and Dune, there's these, they're like nuns, but they have this ability where they can recall memories of every one of their previous female bloodline, and I think it would be sort of like that.
It's a genetic memory concept.
Yeah, where you
it's where something is imprinted. That one's a little more advanced, where it's any memory pretty much from the precursor.
It's not putting it back together, but I guess like what you said would work, because it almost creates the trail that you can follow back to where it's not defragmented or whatever.
Right.
Like synchronization.
Obviously, science metaphor, apples and oranges.
Right.
Well, there's got to be something.
But
overlap.
I think through the both of them, I think like
in the
helps.
End, Mike, they're both still fruit.
It's true.
It's a desynchronization of that information as you progress, I say. So I figure if you go further up in that same thought process, you further along you go, the harder it would be to reclaim the older memories.
Yeah.
So, and the idea of genetic memory was just that usually something impacts you so much that it, or something not really impacts, that's a little, something you learn over time, like genetic habits, I guess is the way to put it. How animals learn or how people have evolved and learned to, that different things are mean different things, like danger's danger to everybody. Usually in the same sense, and it can be overridden.
Well, like why some people like certain foods and other
right.
people find it
or some people have an aversion to certain things for no explainable reason. Like I hate being, you know, somebody hates being submerged under water. Well, maybe it's because someone in their family had a tragic incident with water, and then they, that pure fear of it trained them, and you know, them, their kids, whatever they passed on inherently to fear water. So I mean, who knows, maybe it's something like that. And then some might say
past lives. Yeah, I always used to say stuff like that with past lives. Yeah,
right.
Like you died in a boat accident, so.
There's the biological concept of genetic instinct, which.
Right, that's what I'm.
You know, you look at all of these organisms out there that do all of these incredible things. Like in the Amazon, you have the birds that put on feather displays to attract a mate. And, you know, you look at the videos of that happening, and you wonder, how do every single one of those birds know that that's what they're supposed to do?
Right. So what happened to humans? I mean, you watch Jersey Shore once, and you realize that's not quite the
case. Kind of like how prey animals always know to run from predators, even though they may, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yep.
Right,
even
at that point, the fight or flight
have,
kicks
in. But if you put a squirrel around a puma.
They know when fight or flight kicks in.
Yeah, all of those things, even metamorphosis from a...
Caterpillar
to butterfly, or
knowing when to begin that process.
Yep, and how to begin it. It's all
things they couldn't have been taught.
Yeah.
Things that just came out of raw knowledge. Just they happen to know. That's not quite the case. They know
which,
because it's been
maybe
imprinted.
People. Maybe the whole cognitive sentience of our own being
consciousness
threw
has,
off the whole
yes,
genetic
in
nobody trusts their instincts.
It hasn't thrown it off. It's just we've gotten too smart
it's
to know
masked,
what's good for us.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Cavemen would follow their instinct, boom, boom, fire, don't go near it. Well, then they harnessed fire and then it became
right.
Well, it might kill us sometimes, but
in the textbooks it's said that the human conscious has overrode the genetic instinct at some point. At a very base level, babies, people who are developmentally disabled, you could still see hints of certain instincts come through, which are just base human instinct.
Like with autistic people, and they might have like no concept of reality, but then they'll have something that...
You see fire, you know that you're scared
yeah.
of it. You see
well,
water, you know to stay away from
right.
something
it's
to that effect.
Think of it as the animal instinct, as we refer to it, or the base instinct, like he was saying. Certain things that almost any person you take will always be the same reaction. Like, you know, you always know to cover your eyes if there's a flash, you know, just
mm-hmm.
why? I mean, yes, the pain from the first one will make you realize maybe I should cover my eyes next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no one actually
but
be like,
exposed,
okay, there's going to be a flash, cover your
right.
eyes.
But if you're exposed to it for the first time and your instinct is immediately to cover your eyes, as it's happening, that's not something you just learned, processed, and developed as a skill.
Right.
It was pre-existing. It's
or,
right there.
Or people's fear of, like, spiders.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like you were growing up and your dad's like, see that thing? Run.
Yeah.
Just you grow up and you're like, yeah, spiders.
Well, some things are brought on,
insects,
and some
like
things fall on the consciousness level too, where it's a irrational fear in many cases.
Right.
But the fear of something larger than you usually comes generally from survivability and instinct rather than the consciousness.
It's funny.
Yes.
That
right.
Funny
comes from,
humans no longer fear things bigger than us. Now it's.
Oh, no.
Thanks
we still do. It's
you know,
just,
rhinos, elephants, oh, we'll hunt them.
The
spiders,
thing is,
run!
The human experience is unique in that we have education, a very unique form of education, which propels us beyond a lot of those barriers that the genetic instinct reflex would where that would take over. Like if we
mm-hmm.
saw a rhinoceros without any kind of consciousness, we would say, that's very bad, get away from there. But as humans,
but
we say,
like,
consciousness kicks in and we say, I'm relatively safe right now until this occurs,
don't
in which
like
case,
charges at you
right,
or...
I need to act. So there's cognizance there of a, you know, a situational awareness, which
is astounding to watch lower species because they don't have formal education. They don't have training. They don't have consciousness
to
the point that we understand it.
They don't even have the same thought process or sense of just imaginative or pre-predictive doesn't make sense. Precognitive thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, when we have the ability to imagine what could happen, place ourselves in a scenario and play it out in an instant, just because it's within the power of the mind, we at that point know what plausible outcomes are. Animals don't.
When you encounter the rhino, you immediately, it can gore me with a horn or it can be more scared of me.
Right. So we play all of those out within an instant. I mean, it's almost no time passed. Some people may be a little longer, but every time a red light happens, as soon as it turns yellow, that's like a 15-minute thought process for me. But certain things, especially survivability, you instantly kick in, the adrenaline pumps, and you think, well, these 36,000 things could happen. You process all of them and you say, well, these four are possible. Because you could be thinking, hell, it could grow wings and fly away, leave me alone. It could cross your mind, but it's not going to help you.
But now on the flip side of all of this, let's take this back into the paranormal realm.
My favorite realm.
We have all of these mechanisms in place that set us apart from lesser evolved organisms. Yeah, it's the lesser evolved organisms
that are more sensitive.
In a paranormal environment or an environment that has claims of paranormal activity, those organisms are more perceptive and aware of what's going on than we are. Think small children. Think dogs, cats.
And it's for the exact
horses are relatively
developmentally disabled people.
It's for the exact same reason that we don't run from the rhinoceros, though. We play out all 10,000 possibilities and in the end say, no, that couldn't have been a ghost. That couldn't have been something there. That couldn't have been something I saw. It's not there. It's not possible. It doesn't make sense.
Once
because
you
of
set
the education,
forth that no in
right.
your head, you say no. No, it can't happen.
Right.
No, it doesn't exist. No,
once
no, no, no.
That realm of
we're now
you
trained
close
to believe.
Yourself off to
yep.
that. Your brain is closed to that. That's why they say every single human being has innate psychic skills, mediumship skills, all that.
It's just embracing it or
but once you actually engage that consciousness that.
Sorry, their eyes rolled. It's my psychic ability is the massive ability to roll my eyes.
I mean, I don't, you guys all know I don't
yeah.
put much credence in psychic ability,
but it
or
is
that and
plausible.
I can't say
plausible.
It doesn't exist because we investigate the paranormal, so
and there have been cases where things have happened that you cannot explain, so
right.
it leaves that open for interpretation.
It's,
to a degree,
it's a possibility. Everything's a possibility,
right?
But
I thought we were private investigators.
I prefer occult consultant.
Occult consultant.
If I get an Impala, we're good to go. And it's...
I think man
I'm
stopped.
Gonna, I'm going to demonstrate to all of you right now and to all of our listeners that psychic ability is 100% real. Steve, will you be my willing partner?
Okay.
Whoa.
Steve, what beverage would I like to drink right now?
A Coke.
All right, so it's not real.
I was
going to
say Coke, too.
It was you.
So none of us are psychic.
Chocolate milk.
Oh, chocolate milk. Yes.
I only drank two quarts in front of them the other night.
Actually, I just finished my half gallon last night. This guy gets two quarts. He's like a ninja with the chocolate milk, I'll tell you.
Chocolate milk ninja?
Chocolate milk ninja. Pete
it's
Leonard.
It's a pretty good enema, too, I'll tell you.
Oh, boy.
Chocolate milk makes chocolate something else.
It's good you get all clean since you made Steve your willing partner.
Speaking of degrading.
But anyway, yeah, speaking of degradation.
I was going to say.
I think man lost its genetic fears and paranoia right about the time they developed firearms. Tough to be scared of something when you can blow it away. Cavemen would have had that. Oh, is that a T-Rex?
You know they never coexisted, right?
T-Rex and cavemen?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, Steve.
Uh-oh.
Something that went far.
I mean, there was Dresden riding a T-Rex, wasn't there?
You're right. Cavemen didn't. Back in dinosaur days, it was snake men.
Yeah, lizard people.
Snake
lizard
men.
People.
Snake men. The snake men of Volusia.
Yeah.
No longer copyrighted, so we can use it.
It finally expired?
I'm pretty sure.
Just remember, this episode and all previous episodes and all future episodes are being brought to you by Paranormal Investigator Radio, which is produced and distributed by Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, Inc.
Really?
In partnership with BBS Radio.
Now you just implicated them in a lawsuit. That's just what we're trying to avoid.
Now they're going to be sued by, there were no cavemen during dinosaurs.
It's going to be the cavemen from the Geico commercials that sue. You know that, right?
We're good now. Now that we got the comma, Hank.
Oh, boy.
Sue me. What are you going to get?
Yeah, you
got
to come back more often. I really feel like I learned something.
I wish I could.
So we cancel your classes on Tuesdays.
Dave, that school thing you're doing. Yeah.
Just start emailing me once a day. Today's science review by Dr. Dave DeProsper. Just email it to me once a day.
Science fact of the day.
There you go. Factoids.
So what you're telling us, Dave, is you're a workaholic.
He's an alcoholic who works.
What I'm telling you is that
he's a bizaholic.
I am broke. I've got bills. I'm in debt.
All fun and games become a doctor till it comes time to pay them loans
seriously.
Back.
Seriously.
But he got that license plate.
Honestly, I don't know how many people I hear say, oh, I wish I had Pete Leonard money. Do you know how much money Pete Leonard has? I can count it on one finger. If you really want a dollar, then power to you.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Oh, no, there's several paranormal groups that say that every time. Oh, I wish I had Pete Leonard.
Well,
money.
Obviously, you have money. I mean, we have an agent, a stylist.
We have an office. Yeah.
We have an office.
Books. Radio shows.
I mean, we have our own movie.
We have our own movie.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, after tonight, I'll be going to Beverly Hills to look for my new mansion.
Yes, you do that.
It involves selling a lot of blood and semen throughout the year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bring it up.
Those Sasquatch sightings are actually children of
they can do with the whole genetic little things like superstitions.
There you go.
Superstitions. Why is everyone scared of a black cat? More superstitions, I think you can trace back to a particular
incident.
But
I'm really not that superstitious. If I see a black cat, I'm going to pet it.
You're not. Some people are, though. And it's funny that you have people who follow some superstitions, but not all. Like, you say, like, oh, I see a black cat, I run up and I pet it. But I'm sure there's other superstitions that you follow. You throw salt over your shoulder.
No.
But you got to remember that superstitions are learned. That's something that, as children, through our fairy tales and through the nursery rhymes and all that stuff.
If I spill salt, I wipe it up. I don't throw any over my shoulder. Maybe that's why my luck sucks.
There's a whole avenue of
ladder.
Right.
See, I've done that. It doesn't bother me.
7 years bad luck.
There's a whole avenue of education that explores nursery rhymes, fairy tales, superstitions, the darker side of literature. And the thing is that we hear most of that stuff when we're children. And before a certain age, our cognitive processes don't develop to the point where we can rationalize what we're hearing and learning. And many, many years later, when we are fully aware, 8, 9, 10 years old, that stuff is in there somewhere. We can't articulate it. But at some point when somebody says, there's a ladder set up, I can't walk under a ladder, I'll have bad luck. Why? How do you know that? I don't know. I just know it. You can't do it.
Opening a Berlin.
Friday the 13th is a bad day.
Right.
But it's only a bad day if you were a Templar in 1307.
On another note, on perusing the internets, I'm starting to get extremely pissed off about these local groups calling all these places haunted. So if you're listening to our show, I got your number. Stop saying these public buildings are haunted.
Where's the newest?
A house in Waterville. You were just inviting people to break into these locations.
Is it an abandoned house in Waterville?
Yes. As you can tell by the pictures they took.
When they broke in?
Yes. So if there's any police out there, you might want to go arrest these people for trespassing. Jackassery and humbuggery.
That is a good point. It touches on the ethics of what we do, I suppose. And we always get on this topic at some point or another during one of our shows, during every show.
Because there's always somebody out there going one step forward, two steps back.
Four steps back in our situations more often than not. It is exactly like you said. One, labeling a place haunted. We've never done that, never will. We've had places label themselves after we've given them our
best review. We say is there's activity.
Right. If we think something's been going on there, we'll make the claim that there's been activity. Something has occurred. We'll never call it haunted. Mostly, you know, New York State stigmatized property law limits us in a sense, but there's also just the respect issue. And unless if the people who own the home or own the building or establishment or business want to call their location haunted, it's on them to do so. We're not going to do it for you. And then the fact of creating a tourist trap.
Can you be held liable?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that's the whole
New York State stigmatized property law. One of the things that's you're required to. You okay?
Yeah.
You're required to.
Wrong pipe.
Yeah. When a real estate agent sells a home, they're required, in a sense,
black hole.
They're required to tell you if anything of a various nature that's occurred, being murders, or even in some senses, New York State includes paranormal activity. If something is labeled haunted by us, say we say, oh, this is a haunted whatever location somewhere, and then the person goes to sell that home or sell that location, and somebody finds that we've called it haunted, it impacts the sale or the price of the sale.
Like, now
they can sue us for the difference.
Is that even, like, I understand now we're, like, incorporated and we're, like, a legal company or whatever.
Right.
But even before, when we were just a bunch of jackasses running around in the dark, like, technically our word saying any place is haunted could have been.
We formed a team that at that point had some kind of public trust, I guess, in a sense. People are trusting us to come in and do a service, even if it's a completely voluntary service.
So even just for random guys who got together, yeah, be like, oh, your place is haunted, it could be held.
If we publicize that, which we can via our means of a website, or like these people did in the article on a local...
It's actually on a radio station website.
Oh, they publicized it on a radio station's website. Okay. If the people who own the property decide that, hey, we want to sell it, and now it's going to sell for less because it's labeled as haunted, they can sue anybody involved in that.
Well, I guess it goes along with like slander.
Right. It is the same.
Well, here's eight more places liable. In Rome that are haunted.
Right, so claiming something's haunted has a danger in its own. But then the people that, local people that were on television a couple of months ago,
part of today's
or years ago now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Years ago. The people that were on television locally on that ghost detective show, wherever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Files or something.
The midnight, the one that was on like Saturday morning at like 3
something, yeah. They claimed the home is haunted, has all kinds of activity going on there. All it did was, because people that live locally recognize the scenery, all it did was draw all these people to that location. People live there, and yet they were, grouping up outside in the driveway and trying to snap pictures from the street and all these horrible, horrible things that really shouldn't be done.
We were in contact with that lady, weren't we?
We were in contact.
I remember, that's right.
I do believe Pete was actually in contact
with her.
Pete was
in contact with her, and she said that, she was asking for help because she didn't know how to control the crowd.
It got to the point where we offered to go and stand outside her house in her driveway and keep people away.
Yeah, and Pete
suggested she call the police.
Call the police, yep, I remember that.
If someone... That's the problem, especially if somebody's listening and they have a home that's been labeled as haunted or somebody's called it haunted and this stuff has happened to them, call the police. People have no right to be there. They're going to think they do. Yes. They claim they do.
Then it was all over Facebook. And Mark remembers that because we spent about a day arguing with stupid people. And I hate to call people stupid, but you are what you are.
Yeah.
And their rationale for not only stalking these people to find where the address was, well, if you're on TV, I have a right to come and look at it. No, you don't. Just because you see candy in the store and you decide to eat it doesn't mean you don't have to pay for it.
Yep.
Or like the people who leave chicken wings on the frickin' shelf in Price Chopper when you're walking through there. I mean, you don't pay for that. That's called theft.
But they put it out.
No, it's called theft.
But they put it out. If they wanted somebody to eat it, they wouldn't have put it out, Pete.
I know you only ate half of it. You left the bone. Usually on a can that I have to frickin' grab off the shelf.
It is the same principle, though. At that point, you're disrespecting people. You're invading their privacy. And just because they were on television doesn't mean that you have a right to it. The main argument we had against us was that they chose to be on television. They signed the contracts. They've opened themselves up to this. It's now the public's right to know what's going on. Unfortunately, it's not the case. These people probably couldn't find a team, didn't know we existed, and went somewhere else. Where they went, piqued some producer's interest, and said, hey, let's go there. Whether the story was real or not, because it seems awfully fabricated to me, but that's just my view of it.
But even if they picked them on purpose, it doesn't matter. It's somebody's house.
Right. It's their private property.
If I show up at your house, you're going to shoot me.
Probably, yes. Well, you maybe not. But
well, not Pete, but...
Feel free to break into my home with your K2 meter. I see a light up. I'm going to be pulling the trigger.
It's just how it works.
It's the way of society. I don't want to make this into a Three Angry Guys show. I know this is Paranormal Investigator Radio, but, you know.
But all three of the Angry Guys are here.
Yes, all three of the Angry Guys are here.
It's true.
Oh, my God, look at it. They got puppy cakes.
Oh, jeez. Now,
puppy cupcakes.
In the sense of this whole view of, you know, we have the right to be there, we have the right to investigate it, calling something haunted. You label something haunted, or there's enough popular belief that it's haunted, it's going to inspire people to go there. There's the insane asylum in Marcy.
Marcy, yep.
That is, everybody claims it's haunted, there's all this activity. I've never been there because I refuse to break in to go check it out. It's closed off to the public. People aren't allowed in there, but there's pictures constantly being posted online, people with stories, people, oh, we went there, we investigated. Last time a team told me they investigated the location, I said, oh, how'd you get permission? I said, oh, we just pushed the board to the side and slipped into the window. I said, okay, so next time you're there, let me know you're going, because I'm going to call the police. That's, you have no right to be there.
All the people with pictures from inside cemeteries and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a location that you don't have any right to be there. You have no authority to be investigated.
Trespassing.
Right. It's against the friggin' law, and it makes the rest of us look bad.
Just so you all know, it is illegal to be in a cemetery after dark.
Yeah.
Cemetery gates close at
in New York State, it is illegal to be in a cemetery after dark. I think it's also the same in 46 other states. I've done a lot of research into that because it's...
Pretty much, if sodomy's legal in your state, you can probably go to a cemetery after dark.
Then you had that group of jackholes back in March, whatever it was. They were paranormal investigating a Civil War mansion in Louisiana or wherever it was. It got boring, so out came the pop. Because that's going to make everything. And then they burned down the plantation that they broke into to investigate. I got to cry a river for that.
One step forward, four steps back. You're correct, Mark.
It's a lack of respect and completely non-existing ethics.
Personally, I think they should have been used for stem cell research.
We should have been testing their genetic
memory. I'm so nervous I can't even talk.
But and that's the case. These stories pop up all the time because, again, as a society, we always pick up the worst of something and it becomes the beacon that represents everything. You know, when you do great in life, do good things, people often don't say, oh, hey, good job, buddy. They don't say shit until you screw up.
As soon as you do a bad thing.
And this is what happens to us. We don't do these things, but we are paranormal investigators. And it's a common title. It's a common thing.
I've got to pee something after the show.
It's a common title that's being used across the country, across the world, whatever. So now when a paranormal investigating team, or in reality what normally is, a group of dimwit kids who decide to go break into somewhere and look around with cameras and audio recorders, claim that they're there because they're paranormal investigating. Well, now that makes it look bad when they get arrested for trespassing because now paranormal investigators caught trespassing.
Yeah.
Well, then people look at us. Oh, you guys trespassed? No, we don't do those things. Oh, well, you guys burned down Civil War mansions on weekends. But it's just, it becomes a horrible...
You guys broke a chair.
That one was hilarious.
No, you did.
But that's what it is. Don't blame your stupidity on the activity you're doing because then anybody else who does that looks horrible.
Well, we know from firsthand how much work we've had to expend rebuilding trust and relationships locally because other paranormal groups completely violated every conceivable law, ethical standard, just common human decency.
And like some of them have gone so bad, like it wasn't a mistake. It was like they were working.
Yeah, they were working to be worst at what. And for the rest of us, these historic locations that have generations of activity closed down their doors to the paranormal period. And, you know, it was only through years of dialogue and, you know, working toward restoring faith that we were allowed to go in there. We had
Rucker
to pay.
Mansions.
Rucker Mansions,
we
right.
just finally got in there doing a great event.
After about 8 years.
Event. And we started talking to them pretty much when we first formed. I mean, when we first started doing this more actively, we've been sending letters to them, talking to them, trying to get a hold of people. I was talking to one of the board members for almost a year and a half, thankfully to one of our clients even, who's become a good friend, who introduced us to the person through months of talking to them and talking to the board and inviting them to events to prove to them we're not like those other people. We finally got something in the works, and we finally got in, and we raised them over $3,500 for their location. Great event. People loved it. I didn't hear a single negative thing. So it's just, again.
38, I think, was the final amount.
So $3,800. So it's just, it's this.
That's pretty good.
Right. It's this great opportunity that people close down to because, exactly like you were saying, they don't want the same interaction that they're getting with these other groups, other people, other things. And it's just really normally just
like
a group.
You get burned once, you don't want
to. Right. Well, they not only do they burn the bridge down, but they freaking nuke the land. So we
yeah,
have to re-terraform
because
everything.
They do things in a way that's not just, oh, that was a bad presentation. It was right. Like the presentation went bad.
Oh,
we lost money. My dog got killed. It was. Like,
I've seen bad presentations that these locations don't care, whatever. They recover
yeah,
from it.
But
and
I
we
mean,
come
it's,
in 3 weeks
like
later
I said,
and do it great.
It's not that it's just because a bad presentation, you get by. Like, okay, they did crap presentation.
But, yeah, a bad
but
presentation
like,
is just.
People are destroying property
right.
Or.
Throwing chairs at walls and blaming it on a ghost.
Throwing chairs at walls and blaming ghosts.
Or, you know,
or
raising money for an event and then running off with it. That has happened.
Telling
locally.
People, don't go upstairs, there's a demon. It's like...
Well, that's even... Okay, now see,
so,
most of what we were talking about, because we
so
only have about
not like a,
probably 10, 11 minutes
left. It's just a bad experience. It's like they're going out of their way to be like, we're going to ruin this for everybody.
Now, that's the thing. There's a big difference there, too. When a lot of what we were talking about was like financial loss or just breaking the law. You know, just breaking the law. It's a horrible thing to do. Yeah, don't do it. Don't rob people pretty much like some of these other groups have, or damage property and then say it wasn't them, whatever.
It's like being Santa's first stop and murdering them.
But the real impact, the real damage people are doing is now this creates a negative public opinion about what we do. Now people won't call us for help because they don't want us
yeah.
in their house because they don't know that we're not the
oh,
same as the other
I
people.
I had ghost hunters in my house. They broke everything.
Right.
Raped
so,
my wife.
So they...
took my Vicodin.
So they don't. So they don't want us in the house now, even though we're not that kind of. That we're not those kind of people. We're not, and that's why I say perception's everything
well,
in my senses.
We will take your Vicodin. We get $30 a pill on the street for
this. How do you think we buy our gear? No, but that's
and
what that's what it degrades to. Now you mentioned the demon in the house thing. Now you have people who just want to jump in, be popular, make a big case, or make something cool, or all they believe everything's evil. They run into someone's home, say, oh, you've got a demon upstairs. Our team spent months working with a family, still are working with the family, people who want to start a family, who are afraid to do so because a group went in and said there's demons. Now, that's not a financial impact necessarily. That's not an impact of just a public event,
it's
no longer having the same thing. You're damaging,
impact.
Yes, you're damaging a family, a group of people's perception of the world simply because you're telling them there's a demon
yeah.
living in their house. Until you can definitively prove that, don't open your damn mouth. Because it's not. It wasn't. What we went there and experienced was nothing like it. And now they're living far more peacefully. And they moved their entire house into a single room in their freaking downstairs, pretty much. Their bedroom moved down into like one of their family rooms downstairs. So they didn't have to live upstairs. And they wouldn't start a family because the kid would have to live in a room upstairs because there's freaking Satan in a closet. So, come on. And that's just... That's disrespectful. It's I can't even begin to... Like, I want to... meet these people that did this because they deserve to be chastised because that's not something you should do under any circumstances.
Do you want me to give her a call?
The family or the people who did it?
What's the price? Phone dial them?
Nah, I think we
have him as a guest on the show.
We probably should get him on the show at some point because we have personally now shot down one of their claims because it's absolutely not the case.
Now, have we been on the air since the Rutgers?
Yeah.
Yes.
A couple times. Once,
yes.
Twice?
At least once.
Mm-hmm.
I think we missed a show.
We had an amazing evening there,
we
I would think. There was activity. There was crazy activity in the nursing home. I know you wouldn't know that because we made you stay in the other house, but you should have been in the other one. There was a lot of activity.
Yeah, there was.
You missed the activity in my house when certain someone who may be present forced another investigator to flee from the building. Yeah, you haven't seen activity. Do you see Larry ranting and raving at the front door?
That was only once. Oops. But this coming Friday, we will be at the Fulton County Museum, Loversville, New York. The event is and has been sold out. So if you didn't get a ticket at the
Rutgers, you could have gotten a ticket to Gloversville. That is sold out too, by the way, is it not?
Let's just say you're SOL.
That's
yes.
been sold out for,
for
like
a while.
Since it started, right? They're like, hey, there's going to be a boom, sold out.
So if you're going, thank you. It's going to be a
Rip is going to be here, sold out. Yeah.
So now we have
that's our agent working for us right there.
Mark has the poster up. We just. Set this up. Jen set this up. We're going to be at the Rome Polish Home on Saturday. What are we doing, Mark?
I have no idea. I'm just looking at the poster. Apparently,
the girl on there.
apparently there's a big Halloween bash at the Rome Polish home on the 25th.
We're just going to have a booth set up there.
Yeah, we have a booth set up there. We'll be turning it. We'll be the life of the party. I don't care what anybody tells you. Well, I don't know what some of our members are. They're going to have, it looks like, 5 bands present. The doors open at 6 p.m. The shows start at 7 p.m. That's $10 pre-sale, $15 at the door. You get two... It's hosted by Twisted Ink, and there's 5 bands. There's Dark Passenger, I Can't Read the Other One, The Last Tree, After the Clearing, and Enemy Down. Mason's Falling, I think, is the middle one there. I haven't actually heard of them. They're halfway decent bands.
Cash Bar.
Is there a Cash Bar?
There's Cash Bar.
See, I can't read everything on this poster.
There's going to be food provided by Tony's on the Boulevard and...
Download. Oh, come on. Somebody's... Not knocking them. They should have gone with Tony's
Estella's on Estella's Empanadas or...
It's going to be... At a Polish home, we're having empanadas.
And all sorts of vendors. Looks like there's a lot of like candle vendors. I believe there's an adult novelty vendor.
Ooh. So, is the meat put on the outside of the empanada on Saturday?
Is the meat on the outside of the empanada?
Yeah, since it's the Polish home.
I don't know what an empanada is.
You're
it's
horrible.
A meat pocket.
Oh, like a hot pocket?
It's dough with meat in it.
Like a meat-filled pasta chalk?
A pasta chalk, yeah. I don't know about chalk.
Yeah, pasta chalks?
Now,
chalk.
Next week, we are celebrating Halloween with the rest of the country.
We are.
One of our favorite holidays.
Last show, you said you were going to sleep through Halloween.
I did not.
I'm going to be up for 2 days straight. I can't stay up on Halloween.
Peter and I are going to be starting our lecture tour. We're going to be at the University of Ohio on Wednesday evening. We are going to be at the University of Georgia on Thursday evening. We were supposed to be at the State University of New York, Canton, on Friday, Halloween, but that fell through, so we're going to be enjoying Halloween with our families.
You blow chunks, New York State. Big, thick chunks.
So if you're in Ohio, if you're in Georgia, and if you are not at SUNY Canton...
I'm willing to bet the rednecks from Canton probably just didn't get what you're trying to do.
So if you are a student activities director at another college anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard and you want someone on Halloween...
We are now available.
Harvard. We're looking at you, Harvard.
Our event fell through.
Harvard.
Speaking of that, Mike, would you reenact the ABBA scene for us again tonight?
I might.
You haven't seen Paranormal, but you've seen Mike sing ABBA.
I can't just...
He had this old pheasant lady of song to him, which was just...
Well, I was trying to recapture ABBA's, because they're from Sweden, so I was trying to recapture the Swedish...
Oh, there we go. I can read it now.
Accent.
Sorry, I found a better version of the poster that I was looking at.
So, yes, please do that for us after the show.
So, 415 South George Street, Rome, New York, on the 25th is our Halloween bash we'll be attending. Apparently they have costume contests, prizes, raffles, cash bar, and beer pong tournament.
Oh, I forgot about the beer pong.
The bands are Dark Passenger, Mason's Revolt, The Last Tree, After the Clearing, and Enemy Down, some of which I've heard, some of which are amazing. It's worth checking out otherwise. Put on by Twisted Ink, and it's going to have us there with a booth. Trust me, we'll be the life of the party.
Am I going to get human sacrifice?
You may. It might just happen.
As long as you're next to the chicks with the adult novelties.
Just don't get a tattoo, Pete.
Yeah, it's going to have...
I'm excited about there's a
Scentsy team there called Team Smell It. There's Motive Cosmetics, it looks like. Pure Romance, the adult novelties, and Bella Dolls. So... Should be interesting.
And somewhere on there, it'll tell you who the food is by
Tony's on the Boulevard and Sarita's Empanadas. 3 M's capitalized.
Empanadas.
Pinatas.
Pinatas.
You want us to bring a pinata?
It should be a good time.
No, not a, well, a pinata maybe.
It should be a good time.
Well, the adult novelties place will be there, so who knows?
I'm assuming it's going to be a wicked time.
Oh.
Where's Wicked come from?
Yes.
It's called Twisted Ink.
With a Z.
Yes. Hip.
It's a Z.
Get hip to the drive, my friend.
Twisted.
Thank you for inviting us, though, gentlemen.
Yeah, it should be a good time. We're there. It will be a good time.
Maybe I'll have Spooky tattooed on my buttocks.
There you go.
A big ghost on my ass.
And then someday, 30 years from now, somebody will be changing your diaper and... there'll be a ghost that says, stay spooky.
And can't they, I'm pretty sure.
And they'll say, it doesn't get spookier than this.
What do you mean 30 years from now? Tomorrow?
Not that I've seen Pete's posterior, but I'm assuming it's white enough where you can just do the outline of a ghost. You don't got to fill it in.
Pete's posterior.
My. Yes.
Yes.
I can't help it if I'm a mayonnaise monkey.
So yes, that's most of our upcoming stuff right now. We've got a few things that'll probably pop in now. Who knows, events wise or I mean, this came to us last minute, so.
There's a presentation first week of November somewhere, isn't there?
November 7th will be at Mohawk Valley Community College in Rome. Presenting the Haunted History of Rome.
And on Veterans Day, November 11th, I'm going to be doing a presentation at the Rome Historical Society, bringing the Civil War back to life.
Making the Civil War relevant 150 years later.
That's messed up, man.
It's all relevant.
You kids have to remember our freaking history because I had this talk tonight. They don't even teach cursive handwriting in school anymore. How do we expect we're going to save history?
Let's talk about Common Core. No.
Well, there's no teachers here.
This is not the three angry guys.
Don't get me started.
So you're used to, you're all for Common Core?
I don't know what Common Core is.
Dave designed Common Core for the Department of Education.
Now we know who to, our first.
But I know all my teacher friends bitch about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Basically, it takes you 25 minutes to explain how to subtract the number 2 from 8 to get 5 as the right answer.
So now, with the
and with 2 PhDs, you still can't figure it out.
With the discussion of education earlier and now seeing the forward momentum we have with Common Core, what's going to happen to the rest of our genetic instinct in the next 10, 15 years? We've already seen it degrading. I see the generations following me.
We're going to stop even thinking about danger, and we're just going to start instinctually walking towards it. open manhole? I have a screwdriver. Is that an outlet?
It'll draw up a lot of business for us.
The Georgia runestones might not be wrong.
The Georgia runestones?
Are we going to be close to this?
Oh, I don't know. Those are the ones Ted Turner put up, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, they're like runestones somewhere in the middle of Georgia, and it says that the population of Earth needs to be decreased by
500 million, and it's actually I shut my computer down. All right, I bring it up.
Ted Turner is batshit crazy.
On that note, we're gonna have to end the show for this evening.
I don't agree with Mike's views.
Thank you, everybody, for listening again to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio, hosted by the Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. It was
Mike Perillo.
Dr. Dave DiProspero.
Steve Roscoe.
It depends, Peter Leonard.
And Mark Berry. Tune in next week. Tune in the week following, because it's every 2 weeks The Good Show.
Yes.
And check us out. Thanks again for listening.
And happy Halloween, everyone.
And happy Halloween, because we won't hear from you.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.